Welcome to the Hills Baptist Podcast. We're so glad you're joining us as we see Jesus glorified, lives transformed, and hope revealed in the Adelaide Hills and beyond. We hope you enjoy this message.
He holds the future, and life is worth living because he lives. Please take a seat as we look at our second reading for this morning, which comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 20. Verses 11 to 18. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking that he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I'll get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the great news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them what he had said to her.
Thank you, Demby. Well, it's encouraging this morning to see all of you again. I might pick up where we left off on Easter Friday from a verse from Isaiah, which says, "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. By his wounds, we are healed." Jesus was pierced. He was broken. He was crucified because of our brokenness, our sin, our transgressions, our iniquities, the stuff inside of us we don't like admitting to. And so the first activity I want all of us to do today, you'll notice under your seats or so at the end is a whole heap of pieces of paper and some pencils. What I want all of us to do, children and adults, is to trace your hand on this piece of paper. And we can do it while I'm talking. I'm sure you're all capable of listening and doodling. And as you do that, after you've traced your hand, you can pierce it, either draw a piercing in the middle, or even with the pencil, very carefully and with an adult's supervision, pierce that hand in the middle of the hand. Oh, thank you, Josh. And what this hand represents is us, our brokenness, our hurt, our pain, and all the things in the world that we can't control. This, I don't know about you, but looking out in the world with wars and fuel prices and the economy, things are pretty dark, and there's so much we would like to do to fix the problems of this world, but we can't. We can't. We find ourselves broken, hurting, afraid, guilty. How can we come back from this? We want to do something about our predicaments, but so often we can't. We feel helpless. I wonder if that's how Mary Magdalene would have felt. The Mary that went to see Jesus' tomb. And after Jesus had died on Good Friday, they wanted to go prepare his body and to honor his body and clean it up and bury it properly, but they couldn't. Because of the religious festivals, they had to wait. They couldn't do anything for a whole day. I wonder how helpless Mary must have felt. How hopeless Mary must have felt. The hands that had greeted her and welcomed her and opened up to her were now pierced and broken and buried. And we pick up the story of Mary walking to the tomb where Jesus was laid, walking through that garden to the tomb with the big rock in front of it, wondering how they're even going to move this stone. And it's interesting, reflecting on all the different gardens that are mentioned throughout the Bible, there's actually quite a lot. And leaning into the garden theme of today, I thought we might quickly look at some of the gardens throughout Scripture. Oh, it's excellent. It's good. Now save that hand for later. We'll need it again. One of the most famous gardens in Scripture is the Garden of Eden. That's right. The Garden of Eden. When God first created the world, He made a beautiful garden for His people, for Adam and Eve. And there he dwelled with his people. He went and visited them. He blessed them. He walked with them to be in the very presence of our loving, glorious Creator, to see Him, to be with Him in that first garden. But that paradise for all of humanity to enjoy was lost when Adam and Eve decided they got to decide what was right and wrong, rather than submit to what God says. They disobeyed God. They went their own way. They did their own thing. And by betraying God, they incurred a debt that separated them from God's presence, that separated them from that garden. And it was that debt of sin, of betrayal, that led the world into separation from the God of love and life. Because of that debt of sin, we see brokenness, war, famine, cancer, evil in the world. And there's nothing that we can do to pay that debt. Another garden, more commonly known in the Easter story, is the Garden of Gethsemane. That's right, the garden before Jesus was to die. He went to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane on the Mount of Olives. And it says that he was so anguished, so stressed, that he sweated blood. Has anyone sweated blood before? I very much hope not. I haven't. But why was he so stressed? Why was he so anxious and anguished about what was about to happen? It's because he was about to take on that debt. The burden he was about to carry. He was going to pay the debt of sin for the whole world. And that is not a small debt. And after the garden, he goes to the cross and he dies and he's buried. And now we see Mary walking through a garden to find Jesus' tomb so she could treat his lifeless corpse. She goes looking for hope amongst the dead, but she does not find someone dead. She goes to the tomb and there is no corpse, there is no body, but there are angels, angelic beings of power and glory, sitting at the tomb asking, "Why are you crying?" And I think, like, in a way, that's kind of a rude question, isn't it? When someone's crying, you don't go to them and ask, well, you can ask it, "Why are you crying?" That's okay to ask. But you don't do it rudely. Like, why are you crying? Why is she crying? Of course she's crying. Her savior died. Her friend died. Everything she put her hope in was lost. But they say something that changes everything. These angels say, but Jesus isn't dead. He's alive. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Don't you remember what Jesus said? Jesus said something about dying, didn't he? He said that he was going to die to pay the debt of sin for the world. And because he's God, he paid the debt and he died. He gave his own life on behalf of our lives that we owe God. And he paid the debt, and we know the debt is paid in full because Jesus paid it with his life, and then he had life left over. He paid the debt in full. He gave his life, paid the debt, and had life left over because he is God, and he paid what we could not. Now, Mary doesn't quite understand. Fair enough. It's a lot going on. And she leaves and she meets a gardener. She meets a gardener. Now, this gardener we know is Jesus. He's walking through the garden just as God walked through the Garden of Eden. And Mary greets this gardener and he asks her, "Why are you crying?" Mary doesn't recognize who he is yet. And she asks him, where have you taken Jesus? Where have you taken the body? I'd like to go see it. But the gardener says her name, Mary. Mary. And because the shepherd knows his sheep, and the sheep recognize the voice of the good shepherd, Mary realizes who she's speaking to. This is Jesus, risen from the dead. And she says, "Teacher, Rabboni." She mistakes Jesus for the gardener, but she doesn't make a mistake because Jesus is a gardener. Just as God gardened and set up the Garden of Eden, Jesus has another garden that he's setting. Jesus says to Mary, "Do not hold on to me, for I've not yet ascended to the Father. Don't hold on to me. Don't keep me here, because I have more to do. I'm not done yet." He's paid the debt of the world. He's risen to new life, promising eternal life for all who believe, but he's not done yet. And Jesus says, "I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, my God and your God." He's going to set up, prepare a place for God's people. And this points us forward to another garden, a future garden, the new creation garden. We often refer to it as heaven, as separate from the world we live in, but what God promises is that this world will be restored and renewed, just like the Garden of Eden, but even more, even greater, even better. The new creation garden, where all things will be restored, wrongs will be made right, sins would be forgiven, relationships mended, the curse over creation would be undone, and most importantly, a place where God will dwell with his people. He'll walk in the garden with us, enjoying our company, and we get to enjoy his presence. And I wonder if all of a sudden the garden that Mary walked through was now brimming with life. Nothing had changed, and yet everything had changed. Where there was death, there was life. Where there was despair, there's now hope. Where there's doubt, there's faith. Where there's hate, there's love. This dark, broken, barren world made new through the power of Jesus coming back to life. What is broken and hurting, Jesus transforms into something beautiful, wonderful. The hands that were pierced broken and buried to pay the debt that we owed, now are alive and risen and extended to us. And so much of the things of this world that we can't control, that we can't do anything about, Jesus has done something about, and he promises us a world where he will make all things right once and for all. And so these hands that are pierced, we're going to take them, we're going to do something with them. And now, I want to make clear, this was planned a couple of months ago, Emma and I were talking and thinking, what are we going to do for Easter? Emma came across this idea, and it was only just this past week that Brenton Hill put a piece of art on the wall. Now, I haven't spoken to Brenton about this, so apologies. I'm sure it's fine referring to your artwork here. But if you have a look, and it's also on the screens, these are Easter lilies. Is Brenton here today? There you are. Anyway, I don't want to draw attention to him. He wouldn't like that. These are Easter lilies, and there is a legend in the early church tradition that the place where Jesus wept and cried and sweated blood and where it dripped onto the ground after 3 days, from that ground grew Easter lilies. Lilies. What was broken and anguish and the burden, the hurt and the brokenness that he felt as it was buried, what God did is he took what was buried and made it into something beautiful. And that's what we're going to do today. The next stage of the craft we're all doing with this hand. Thank you, Josh, for yours. With this hand that we have traced, we're going to come, we'll cut it out, and then we'll turn it into Easter lilies. If you fold it around and then roll the fingers outwards, they make these beautiful Easter lilies. Did we have a... Well, there's ones on the screen. I think we had an example one somewhere, but it's lost. But we can do it together. So we'll do this. We've got here at the front a whole heap of scissors and tape. And this is going to be fun, a little bit messy, just like the world is messy. But you got to get through mess to make something beautiful. And so as a response, consider what it is that Jesus died for you. The brokenness, the hurt, the things that you cannot control. And consider how through the power of the resurrection, Jesus takes what is broken and he turns it into something beautiful. So kids, perhaps can come first. Grab a pair of scissors. And with adult supervision, you can cut out your hand. And adults, I would like you to get involved as well. This is not mandatory by any means, but an opportunity to engage in this message physically. Keep an eye on the kids with scissors running around the place. Yeah. Now, we also have, I'm glad you found them, the pipe cleaners to make the stem of the Easter lily. Oops, sorry. And when you're done, we can come and we can, again, I'm not sure exactly how this will work, we can tape them onto the cross or put them in this garden area here. All right. You can feel free to keep... putting your lilies onto the cross, but we might continue in worship. But as you head out and as you go out into your own gardens and wherever you see a lily, remember Jesus, who has died and buried, has come alive. And we don't mean that metaphorically. We mean it physically. Reality. He actually rose from the dead. That doesn't happen. That's not meant to be. But Jesus did it because he has power even over the grave. He is our living hope. He's not a dead hope or a spiritual hope or a conceptual hope or an idealistic hope. He is our living hope. And he's in heaven, with the Heavenly Father, preparing a place for you and for me. He's turning what is broken into something absolutely beautiful. So why don't we stand and let's worship together Jesus, our living hope.
Thanks for listening to the Hills Baptist Podcast. If you'd like to partner with us in developing and equipping passionate disciples who love God, love people, and boldly share the gospel, you can do that at hillsbaptist.com/giving. We pray this message has empowered you to live and love more like Jesus. Have an amazing day.